I have the joy this morning of being able to share the Word of God with you. For those of you who may not know, I am currently in seminary, and this semester I'm also in a preaching class. So when Pastor Joel said that he was going to be gone and he was looking for somebody, things kind of just fell in place. We are currently in this transitional state where we are moving from Thanksgiving to Christmas. We're moving from a time of giving thanks for what we have to giving gifts to those we love and care about. My mom and I were just talking about Christmas, and she asked me what she could give either Cody or myself, but we were at this dilemma. There's not really anything that we want or need currently. So as I'm trying rather unsuccessfully to come up with ideas, she looks at me completely serious and says, "I think I'm going to give you and Cody a flock of chickens." Now, what she's referring to is an organization called Heifer International. There's actually information about Heifer International in the newsletter for this month. And it's an organization where you can donate money and give a flock of chickens, goats, a pig to somebody in need in someone's name. But this whole conversation reminded me of how difficult it can be to figure out who and what you're going to give to at Christmas time. Sometimes I feel that Christmas is one of the most stressful, joyful, yes, but stressful times of the year. I always look forward to the Advent and Christmas season, but at times it can be so overwhelming. What am I going to get my husband for Christmas? Or my parents and brother? And then I have nieces and nephews, brothers and sisters-in-law. I have grandparents and cousins and friends. Where does it end? And then there are different organizations that are calling, and some I truly want to give to, but others I just want to give so that they stop calling and I stop seeing their ads whenever I go onto websites. And then there's the incessant ringing when I walk into every store. I gave at the three previous stores. I'm out of pocket change. Don't look badly as I skip this one. Although I'm sure that many of you can relate to having had some of these thoughts at some point, I don't think that this is the correct attitude we're supposed to have when we give. Our scripture for today is a letter from Paul to the people of Corinth. A year prior to this letter, the people of Corinth, who are Gentiles, non-Jews who believe in the message of Jesus, made a promise to give money to the saints of Jerusalem, Jews who believe in the message of Jesus. At that time, members of the Gentile churches and the saints of Jerusalem had very little in common. They came from different cultures, beliefs, and backgrounds. So this was a pretty big deal that they had agreed to take up a monetary collection to give. As the time of Paul's arrival to Corinth drew near, Paul wrote this letter to remind them what their attitude should be as they give. Throughout this letter, Paul reminds the Corinthians and us that giving is supposed to come from the heart. There is a risk in giving, but giving is an act of worship and thanksgiving to God. We are able to give because God has first given to us. When we give of our time, money, and possessions, we are able to share the grace of God with those that receive. The hope is then that those who receive return in worship and thanksgiving to God. The act of giving and receiving forms a relationship among the giver, the receiver, and God. So I would first like to take a look at what it means to give from the heart. In verse 7, Paul says, "Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." What does it mean to be a cheerful giver? Often when I have heard that phrase, I have thought that I should just put a smile on and make myself be happy with what I am giving. Basically, to put on a mask so that I seem to be happily giving, even if I'm not. Paul says that God loves a cheerful giver. The word that Paul used here for love was agape, God's unconditional love for humans. It's the highest form of love. So if my interpretation of being a cheerful giver was correct, it would seem that the scripture would say that God loves when we give wearing fake smiles and masks. So I don't think that's exactly what this phrase means. Instead, when we give a gift, we are to give because we freely choose to give. We should not give out of obligation. So when we feel pulled in so many directions, maybe we need to find something that we are passionate about, that we truly want to give to. Then we are more able to give from our hearts and be cheerful givers. Recently in our Monday night Bible study, Alicia, a kindergarten teacher, was discussing about how her kids love to give her all kinds of gifts. These gifts include balled up pieces of paper, rocks, and dead dandelions. She said then that she has set dead dandelions on her desk for the remainder of the day because the kids chose to give her such gifts. What is in children's hearts when they choose to give these types of gifts? Are they giving out of guilt, annoyance? Are they giving because they expect something in return? No. They give because they want to share joy with the person they are giving to. They are not coerced into giving, and they give without concern. When we give, we should give from our hearts, like the heart of a child, without concern for how the gift may be received or used. It is important for us to be cheerful givers because we are sharing God's gifts with people when we give. Giving is not just the giving of a physical gift. It is the giving of our time and the sharing of our spiritual gifts. These are all gifts we have first received from God. We are then to share those gifts with others so that it returns in thanks to God. In verse 11 and 12, Paul says that you will be enriched in every way for your generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. When we are giving, we are creating this circle between us, the giver, the receiver, and God. We are the mediators when we give. When we look back at the context of our scripture, we see two completely unrelated churches coming together, the Gentile churches and the saints of Jerusalem. Because the Gentiles were choosing to give a monetary collection to the saints, they were coming together as one group of people with God at the center. This opened the door for a relationship to form. From this perspective, the giver, the Gentiles, served as the mediator so that the saints may receive the gift from God. Unfortunately, it's not always the case that we get to give in ways that we are passionate about. There are times when we have agreed to give or are in a situation that we should give, but maybe no longer feel as passionate as we once were. I have a feeling that this is the situation that Paul is actually writing to. He is reminding the Corinthians of the promise they made, but that they shouldn't only give because of feeling obligated due to that promise. They should still be giving cheerfully and from the heart. This is a much more difficult situation in which to give and to be a cheerful giver. How can we give from our heart if our heart's not in it? Sometimes being cheerful isn't this switch that we hit and are automatically happy. But if we remember that the purpose of giving is because God gave to us and to form the relationship, then maybe we can find something within that relationship that we are passionate about. I know for myself, I have given before with a stingy heart. I have volunteered for something and shown up with the intent of only staying for a little while. I was doing my duty. I signed up for it, but was no longer passionate. I was no longer enthusiastic and was giving out of obligation. However, what I have found is that once I had been there for a little while, I started talking with people, and I started refinding the enthusiasm that I had when I originally signed up. When I first showed up, I was anything but a cheerful giver. I was wearing my mask. But as I was there, I became a cheerful giver, finding joy through the process of giving. When we are struggling to be cheerful givers, if we can look toward the joy in the relationship, then it may make it easier for us to find joy and be able to give from our hearts. Anyone here who's ever sung in choir or helped with youth group or Kidnection can probably relate to finding joy in the process. I'm sure many of you have experienced a Wednesday night with youth group or with choir where you were absolutely exhausted and the last thing you wanted to do was show up. But you showed up anyway because you knew it's what you were supposed to do. How did you leave? I don't think I've ever seen anyone leave this building on a Wednesday night with a frown. Almost everyone leaves happier than when they first came in. That is part of the process of becoming a cheerful giver. There are still moments, though, in which it is just difficult. You may not find the joy even after giving, or you may end up disappointing someone in the process. That's because no matter what, no matter how much we give from the heart, there is a risk in giving. Paul started the letter to the Corinthians with a common agricultural metaphor that would have been easily understood by the Corinthians at that time. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but the one who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. I personally do not come from an agricultural background. So what I originally took from this phrase was that you reap what you sow. Whatever you put into what you do, that is what you get out of it. However, something significant is missing from that interpretation. Although a farmer who sows many seeds will reap a fuller harvest, there is a much greater risk in sowing all of your seed. If the farmer plants all the seed, but it doesn't rain, then the farmer has lost the harvest. Now, the farmer who only planted some of the seed, if the rain doesn't come, that farmer can then sow the remaining seed. There is much less risk. Paul is commanding us to sow bountifully and take the risk. As we are moving into the Christmas season, what does this mean for us? We typically give gifts to those we are close to because we want to bring them joy. Often we spend a lot of time and energy picking out the perfect gifts so that we can bring as much joy as possible. But there's a risk in that. It can be difficult when you think you have found the perfect gift. You go to give it to someone, and their response is, "Oh, thanks. That hurts." It hurts because when we give, it is a sign of our relationship with that person. And if we don't give them the perfect gift, it seems as though we don't know them well enough. But on the other side, when we give them a gift that they truly love, it strengthens the relationship. We see their joy and it brings you closer together. It is the relationship that is strengthened when we take the risk. Over the past 12 years that Cody and I have been together and then married, we have had some interesting gift giving. One such year wasn't a Christmas gift, but it was in picking out our Christmas tree. Every year, Cody and I go tree hunting at a tree farm to find the perfect Christmas tree. Now, growing up, we always had a fake tree, and so it was always the perfect size and the perfect shape. So finding the perfect tree has become a tradition for us since we've been married. Well, one year, our schedules were busy, and they just didn't go together, and so the only weekend that Cody could go out to get the tree, I had to work. So Cody went out with his parents, and the three of them picked out a tree. I got all excited. I came home from work to get to see the tree. I walked in, and oh. The tree was about a foot and a half from the ceiling. We didn't have high ceilings, and I like mine about a couple inches from the ceiling. And there was this big hole in the top. It's far from the picture I had in my mind of the perfect tree. Unfortunately, my response hurt Cody. He took a risk in picking out the Christmas tree without both of us being there. And my response wasn't really the best then. I will have to say, though, that we lived in a smaller apartment, and the year that we had that tree was the first year that we didn't have to walk sideways to go down the hallway. And that big hole in the top, yeah, we have this really massive ornament that fit perfectly in that spot. It turned out it was the perfect tree. And we had the perfect tree because Cody took a risk. When we talk about this risk in giving, it's not for our gain, though, as the giver. It is for the gain of everyone in the relationship. Paul goes on to say that God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. The more that we share and give, the more that we will have to continue sharing and giving. The more we risk, the more we will reap, thus the more we can give. As I think about how this cycle works, I think about our midweek connection that we do every month. We serve our community through a meal and the Serving Our Neighbors program, in which we hand out different necessities such as socks, gloves, and paper goods. Every month we take up a collection and we receive plenty of necessities that we are then able to share with our neighbors. Our midweek connection meal often receives enough food and monetary donations to cover the cost of the meal. The more we have given, the more we have received, so that we may continue giving. Our gift giving can also be risky, because once we give that gift, we do not know how it will be used. As we get the calls from different organizations this season, we may wonder which ones will use the money the way we think they should use it. The benefit here is that it's not ours to worry about. When we give from our heart with God at the center, then God is responsible for that gift. Verse 11 said that our ministry not only supplies the needs of those who receive, God tells us that our ministry will supply the needs of those who receive. God is at the center of our giving. Even if the way we see it, the gift is unappreciated or misused, it is being used for God's glory because the relationship that is formed is among us, the receiver, and God. I want to leave you with a story that can be found on National Public Radio. If you're interested in listening to the whole story, you can find it at NPR's StoryCorps section. A young man was on his way home from work, and he decided to get off the train a stop early so that he could grab dinner at a local diner. As he was in the train station, a teen approached him with a knife and asked for his wallet. The young man gave him his wallet, and as the teen was walking away, he yelled out, "Wait, you forgot something." If you're going to be out robbing people all night, take my coat so it'll keep you warm. The teen looked at him confused and asked why he was doing this. The young man replied, "I figure if you're willing to risk going to jail for a couple of dollars, you must really need the money." The young man then invited the teen to dinner, and the story ends with the two of them having dinner at the diner. The young man received his wallet back, and the teen even gave him his knife. The young man here risked, ultimately, his life in giving the teen his wallet and coat. What came from that gift, though, was a relationship that may have only lasted for that night, but it gave the teen a possibility at a new life. When we take the risk and give from our heart, God can work through the relationships that are formed and greatly impact both us as the giver and those who receive. So as you are trying to figure out what you're going to give this Christmas season, take a risk. Find joy in the risk. Maybe that means giving to someone unexpectedly or getting involved in an organization that you're passionate about but maybe haven't gotten involved with. And maybe it's in the form of giving a family member a flock of chickens. But regardless, give with an open heart so that you may build relationships among yourself, the receiver, and God. Amen.